Welcome to lesson two. This is all about sending and receiving information clearly. And many of us get so caught up in receiving the information that we forget a very important component, that sending the information clearly and purely is just as important. By being present in the moment and clear in your messages, you increase your accuracy that the animal will understand and that you will receive the information clearly as well. By setting your intention to connect with a certain animal, you're setting up a direct transmission to that animal, just like a radio. You can imagine that you have a plug that is attached to your energy. By setting your intention to connect with a specific animal in a specific location, you are assuring yourself that you're connecting or plugging into that animal's energy. If you have a poor connection, there may be a lot of static and unclear messages. So sometimes just backtracking a bit, grounding yourself, being present in the moment, setting your intention will help alleviate that. If our mind is full of thoughts and racing wildly, which is normal, we're so used to multitasking that a lot of times it's difficult for us to just be still and be in the moment. We're thinking about what we need to do, what we did before, that type of thing. So being present in the moment is quite a challenge in today's day and age. So just practicing being in the moment for longer periods of time will help you to send and receive information with a lot more clarity. We want the connection to an animal to be as pure as we can, so keeping things simple in the beginning is essential. Another thing we must realize is that when we talk to an animal, we are sending more things than we may actually realize. When we verbally talk to an animal, they're also picking up from us our mental thoughts, feelings, energy behind the words that we are saying. They're also watching our body language if we're in front of them. So we must understand that just us saying the words is not enough. The animals are picking up all that other energy behind us. So it's very important to think about what you're going to say and formulate pictures, thoughts, feelings that will actually translate that message as well. It will really solidify whatever it is you're trying to get across to the animal. It's the pictures behind the words that really they're picking up and that they're reading. And likewise, when we're communicating telepathically, it is a ball of energy we are sending back and forth to one another that we are simply interpreting to the best of our ability. So when we think of it that way, being very, very clear with our pictures and our emotions and our thoughts behind the words that we are saying is really essential. When we communicate telepathically, we have a tone. There is that energy or tone of tone behind what we are saying. Telepathic communication is much more efficient than verbal communication. It's immediate. It's not as cumbersome as verbal, but like all communication, it is an interpretation on both sides. So we have to put aside our own preconceived notions and fears when we're communicating with an animal. I can remember one of my first animal communication classes that I took, and I wanted to chat with one of the llamas. And when I walked into the pen where all the animals were, one of the llamas approached me, and I had never seen a llama up close before. So when I walked in and he approached me, I backed off. I immediately froze and became a bit nervous. The llama immediately sensed this and, in disgust, told me in no uncertain terms that I was not ready to speak with him. So he turned and walked away. I will admit I was a little relieved, but really disappointed as well. So the following year, I went back to talk to him with a new attitude and respect. He came right over to me and began to chat immediately and gave me some amazing information. So just shifting our energy slightly can make a big difference. So when you are communicating with an animal, it's important to send the information as clear as possible. A few things to remember are, number one, setting your intention to clearly communicate with said animal. Being quiet in your mind or in the present moment Try not to let your mind wander or drift while you're communicating something to an animal. Keep bringing yourself back to the present moment. Keep your pictures and your words crisp and clear. When you are picturing something for an animal, create the scene as realistic as possible. For instance, when I work with clients who are concerned that their cat or dog is too close to the street, I always explain to the animal the dangers of the street, and then I also picture for them what can happen to them as vividly as possible. I even go so far as to show them how sad their person would be if they ever got hit or injured by a car. I picture this and I send to them the emotions as well. I also picture for them very graphically what can happen to them if they ever did get hit by a car and how quickly it can happen even if they are very careful. Many times this will help to keep them away from the street. Using very, very clear graphic pictures backed up with emotions, thoughts, and feelings can be very powerful in the forms of getting a message across to an animal. Another very important tip I can give you is that animals always want to know what to do, not what not to do. Because they often read our pictures behind our words, by telling an animal what we want them to do, we send a picture of exactly that, the proper behavior or the desired behavior. When we're asking an animal not to do something, we are actually picturing the undesirable behavior, so this can be very confusing for the animal. It's very hard to be told not to do something without giving you an activity to strive towards. So we don't want to set our animals up for failure. So always picture for them the behavior, the desired behavior. This will help you to achieve that result. For instance, I worked with a bulldog cross named Brenda once. She loved to chew on her person's sofa when she went to work. Of course, as a result, Brenda got into major trouble and eventually was crated or locked in the kitchen while the person went to work. I asked Brenda's person what she told her dog when she left for work, and she said that she told Brenda every day not to chew the sofa. And if you can imagine saying that to your animal, what are you picturing? Most of the time, we're picturing them chewing the sofa, if you can imagine that the knots don't get translated. I told her that many times it is the pictures behind the words that the animals pay attention to. So I told her that we needed to give Brenda a job to do while she was away at work and explain to her the rules of the home. So I worked with Brenda a little bit, gave her a job, and asked Brenda's person to enforce this daily, to watch over the house and to keep everything in order. That means only chewing specific things that her person gives her. So I pictured her walking through the house, patrolling everything, leaving things alone, and when she got upset or nervous, to either go lie down or to grab one of the things that her person left for her to chew on to alleviate some tension. It was also important that Brenda's person talk to her about where she was going and how long until she got back. This gave her a focus for her energy while her person was gone. And many times, this will help a nervous animal with separation anxiety have a new focus and a new job and a new purpose. Dogs especially like to have a job. They want to be busy. They want to be appreciated and valued. So giving them a job and helping them to achieve that desired result a lot of times can bring wonderful results. There's a wonderful exercise called the color exercise that I always do in my workshops. And the purpose of this exercise is really to get the feel of a subtle telepathic exchange. It's not, people get caught up in trying to get the colors right. It's really not about that. It is an exercise in sending purely and receiving through the clutter, chatter, distrust of the logical mind. And you can really get a glimpse as to what, you know, how the logical mind tries to sabotage our intuition. So in this exercise, it's really important to have a partner, a willing friend, and what you want to do is sit across from one another. Make sure the person that you get to do this exercise with is as open as possible. And you can sit across from each other on a chair, a couch, floor, wherever you're most comfortable. One person will be the sender and the other would be the receiver. And the receiver's job is to take a few deep breaths and to just try to be present in the moment. The sender should take a minute silently to think about what color they're going to choose to send. So, for instance, if I wanted to send to my partner the color blue, I would picture the color in my mind's eye. I would picture an object that is that color, like maybe a delicious big plump blueberry. And I would imagine sending that color to the person's third eye. So I would then open my eyes. I would tell my partner, okay, I'm sending. And I would imagine that color right there in their third eye. I would picture the blueberry. I would say blue. So I would send it in a variety of ways. And then you would stop sending and you would tell the receiver, okay, I'm done. And the receiver's job is just to interpret what they felt. A lot of times, pay attention for the receiver, what object comes in really quick. A lot of times our intuition is immediate, so it will slip in very quickly. Then it's our logical mind that will say, oh, you're making it up, it's got to be this color. The logical mind does not like to be wrong, so it will begin to guess things. It will discount your intuition. So this is a great exercise in understanding how the logical mind works. So getting the color right, I'm not so concerned about. That's not going to warrant whether you're a good communicator or not. It's just, again, a simple exercise to get the feel of sending purely, because a lot of times when you're sending, even when you're sending, you're thinking of other things and, oh, maybe I should have picked this color. So it's really staying focused, staying crisp, being clear. And for the receiver, it's really kind of trying to figure out how that intuition is coming in. So that's really the purpose of this exercise. And then you switch. The person who was the sender is then the receiver and vice versa. And you can do this a few times just to get the feel of it. It's a wonderful exercise. And even prior to beginning, you can guide your partner in a little relaxation exercise, having them do a few deep breaths and just clearing both of your minds. So what I'd like to go over now are the basic steps to help you prepare for a telepathic connection. And these are the basic steps to just prepare you and your mind and your body and your spirit for connecting with animals. And the more you do it, all these steps will become natural. You won't actually have to think of them as steps. It'll just be a complete flow. The most important step is always setting your intention. So whenever you're working with an animal long distance, setting your intention is very important. But when I begin to teach people how to do this, most important first step, or especially when, you know, people are nervous about doing this and want to make sure they're doing it right, is to breathe. So I like to instruct people to do some deep cleansing breaths. Three breaths sometimes is the magic number, but do as many as you feel it takes to just kind of bring your energy down. And when you take a deep breath, you're going to breathe in through your nose. You're going to fill up your whole diaphragm up into your chest and throat. Hold it for a count of three, and then exhale out your mouth. And when you take your second breath, as you hold your breath for a count of three, you just want to kind of gather up any tension that's in your body, and next time you exhale, you're going to release it out completely. And with the next inhale, you're going to gather up anybody else's tensions, thoughts, or feelings you're carrying, and then release that out completely. By doing your deep breathing, you're just kind of realigning your body, mind, and spirit. Another vital aspect of animal communication is understanding that this communication takes place all through the heart. Many of us may be closed in our heart for some reason. A lot of times, if we've lost an animal, or we're afraid to hear what animals have to say, we're afraid it may affect us too deeply, or we're afraid of hearing pain, that type of thing, our hearts will be closed. So opening the heart is easy. Usually just seeing an animal will open our heart wide. Certain animals have this effect on us. But throughout this process, I like to help people by imagining we have a door in our heart. And it can look like any type of door. It can be two big wooden doors, a glass door, or an ornate door, whatever you kind of feel, whatever type of door you think would be suitable for your heart. And I like to have you imagine that this door is opening wide. And you can draw it, sketch it, but just, you know, take a moment to really focus your attention in the heart area and open that door wide. And sometimes even just thinking about an animal we love, a person we love, something spiritual will open that door automatically for us. You may even feel a butterfly there, you know, a little bit of a tickle. So we did our breathing, we opened our heart. I always have people smile as well. There's something about smiling or just turning that frown upside down that just alleviates tension. I can't explain it, but I, you know, when I teach these classes and I see people getting too serious with this and I have them smile, it's like a little miracle thing. It just wipes away tension, it wipes away the seriousness, and helps people get back to where they need to be with this, which is just allowing the flow to happen. Then we state our intention. Again, this is such an important step that a lot of people overlook. Again, it's like taking our plug and plugging into the animal we want to speak with. So this is very, very important. You know, we don't want to be just a live wire out there trying to tap into anything. We want to communicate with a specific animal, a specific being. We want to tap into their frequency, their energy. So by stating our intention, we're assuring this. And there, you know, there are different ways to set your intention. We're going to keep it simple in the beginning. My intention is to speak with such and such an animal. Then you would call the animal's name in your head to get their attention. You know, you would call it silently 3 times in your head. And so you are stating your intention, then you're calling the animal. If you're working with an animal long distance, I would also, when I state my intention to speak with such and such an animal, I'll also say this animal is located in this particular town and state. It's so-and-so's animal. To just be very, very specific that I'm getting the right animal in the right location. If it's a really common name like Bud the dog, I want to make sure I'm communicating with Bud the dog in Los Angeles, California, instead of Bud the dog in Texas. So I'm very specific when it comes to working with animals long distance. So just keep that in mind. When you're working with animals face to face, of course you don't need to do that. Then after I get the connection with the animal, after I call their name and all of a sudden in my mind's eye, I have their energy in front of me, or if I'm working in front of them and I call their name and I feel like I'm connected, I ask for permission. And I'll usually introduce myself. And I ask for permission. Is it okay for me to talk with you today? And I really have never met an animal who said no. I've had one walk away, my llama friend. So, you know, just be open-minded with this. Be very relaxed and open. The more diffused and relaxed your energy is, the more willing the animals will be to talk with you, especially when you start to work with more undomesticated animals. You really have to pay attention to your energy and what you're projecting. So after I ask for permission, I tune in and I pay attention to whatever I get, thoughts, feelings, words, any type of sensations. You know, the information can come in a variety of ways. And then at the end, I always thank the animal. Vitally important. You know, there's a etiquette I use when I work with animals, and I always respect their spiritual essence. And I always treat them with respect and I thank them. So there you go. Breathe. Open your heart, smile, state your intention, call the animal's name, either in your head or out loud. I prefer to do it in my head. Ask for permission, tune in, and then thank the animal. So now we're going to go over some tips to help you communicate with the animals a little bit better. Attitude. The way you view animals will influence your communication receptivity and the willingness of the animals you're connecting with. So you approach animals with respect and appreciation for who they are. If you view them as substandard or inferior of any in any way, it will limit your ability to communicate with them and your awareness level. I had a friend of mine who insisted that chickens were stupid and how could I communicate with chickens? And I really find them to be such interesting beings and quite sassy at times and just, you know, individual personalities. And I learned so much from them. So I was sad for her because she didn't really see the inner being underneath those feathers. So if you do view animals or certain beings as substandard, you're going to be limiting your ability to learn from them and to communicate with them. You know, we have to understand we are all one, and we're created in a certain way for a certain reason. It doesn't mean that we are superior or they are superior. We are all one. And the more you can get into that tone of thought, the more information you will get, things will just immediately begin to feel and appear differently. And it's like the spiritual wonder of things starts to unfold before your eyes. So it's very important to be humble and receptive around the animals. They will feel comfortable opening up to you if they feel this from you. I like to admire the animal's spiritual qualities as well. So many people get caught up in the physical qualities, and they're so used to that. And of course, many appreciate that, and they love to have their ego stroked, but I also like to admire spiritual qualities about them, such as their honesty, their loyalty, their patience, their joy, their integrity, their wisdom, their kindness, etc. This encourages mutual respect, and it builds the relationship into a deeper one of understanding. And it strengthens that two-way communication. So view each being as an individual with respect and love, and see them always as a potential teacher. This will enable you to observe them with objectivity and allowing the information to flow into you. So attitude is important. Also, quieting the mind. Again, you know, we live in a society where all we do is multitask. So it's really important to get in the habit of trying to quiet your mind. You know, people think of it that we have to meditate for a certain amount of time. And just think of it as entering that sacred silence, you know, just quieting the mind, being still, being present. And it takes a lot of practice. It sounds simple, but it takes practice. There are so many different ways that you can just be present. One of the best ways I have found is just sitting with your animal, not expecting anything, just sitting and being, just being in that same mindset with them, being still. You can try sitting outside in nature, yoga, soothing music, exercise, anything that will help you to just quiet the cluttering thoughts to create traffic in your head. See what works best for you. Again, opening the heart, you know, just allowing your energy to come into the heart area and understanding that when you work with animals, it is a heart connection. Believing in yourself is so important. Believe in your intuitive ability. This is a gift that God has given all of us, not just a few people, but we all have this ability. This is the hardest step for some people. So it all starts with believing in yourself and accepting whatever it is you get. By acknowledging and accepting the information you're getting, it opens that window, that intuitive door. It opens it wider and wider. So the information won't be as subtle next time. The more you trust it, the more it will come through. Don't discount anything. In order to remove the blocks for successful two-way communication, you must believe it is possible, and you must believe in your intuition, and you must trust in what you get. I guarantee every one of you will say, it feels like I'm talking to myself. It feels like I'm making it up. How can I be sure? You just have to trust it in the beginning. That will open that door a little bit wider for you, and wider. The more you trust it, you're opening that window or that door to your intuition a little bit more, so more information can come through. Very important. The more you practice and the more you trust, the more that muscle will develop and become stronger. Think of it that way. Be very receptive when you're working in this type of environment or working with animals. You need to be open to anything you get. It may test your conventional notions. Just accept whatever it is you get and acknowledge the animal for it. If you're not clear on what you're getting, you can ask again. Be open to surprises. Shut off your mind. There's no room for logic here. So just accept anything you get, no matter how strange it may be. I also feel like writing things down is very important. It gets it out of your head so that more stuff can come in. And by writing it down, you are acknowledging it. You are accepting it. And you are trusting it. So writing it down is a very important step. Another thing, tip for you, is don't overwhelm the animal. Be careful that you're not projecting your own strong emotions towards the animal. Even if it's love, fear, sadness, you can block the two-way process if you're projecting too much. Especially when you're working with any type of a fearful animal or wild animals, it's very important to diffuse your energy. Be very, very grounded. Animals are professionals when it comes to reading energy. They can pick up in an instant what your energy is or what you are thinking and feeling. So if your energy is too hyper or nervous, it's very important that you take a moment to ground it. Another really important thing is don't try too hard. This is a really common mistake in the beginning. If you try too hard, you will miss the subtle communication that's taking place. It's very, very subtle, so you need to shift into receptive mode. Lean back, open your chest and hands, breathe slowly and deeply. You can close your eyes if you want. If you're hunched over and you're crouched forward and your fists are closed and you're squinting your eyes, you're closing yourself down. You're trying too hard. The logical mind is taking over. So think about this when you're working with the animals. It is a very gentle flow of energy. The more open you are, the more it will flow. And remember, accept anything you got, whether it's feelings, pictures, impressions, thoughts, words, sounds, bodily sensations, or just a general knowing. Become familiar with what and how you receive the information and don't analyze or criticize. Remain non-judgmental. Remember to practice. Always have fun and gratitude. Always thank the animal. This will keep you receptive to them and willing to continue.